Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Creator's Toolkit, the podcast where Good Game Bro is going to teach me too to be undefeated, never lost.
Always, man. Never taken a loss in my entire life. Not my entire life.
We're going to throw it to the intro.
My check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Damn it.
Finding something you love and then doing that for the rest of your life.
Document versus cream.
That's a wonderful idea.
You are now listening to the Creator's Toolkit.
Dougie, how you doing, my man?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Never been better. How you been? It's been a little bit.
Never been better. Good. Yeah, it's been a while. You're just too famous on Facebook now. You don't notice me anymore.
Dude, I try. I swear, chat sometimes. It's like, you know, the best problem to have when you're a streamer. You're like, chat's going by so fast, I can't even recognize like people that I know like in real life or whatever. But it's been a whirlwind, man. I can't believe, you know, I feel fortunate, obviously, but like it has been absolutely insane the past couple of months.
Speaking of like recognizing people, like I was in there the other day and I recognized nobody other than Harry. I was like, where's DJ Dragonflame? I was like, what's up, Harry? You're always here, Harry. But everybody else, dude, I couldn't recognize.
It's kind of crazy. You know, I talked about it at EA Play a little bit. I was, you know, fortunate enough to be in that panel for Facebook. But the cool thing for me of going to Facebook from like YouTube and being on Twitch and stuff is it was an opportunity to kind of like reset my community a little bit. And, you know, a lot of the people that were on YouTube, you know, they're there, but they're just not there as often. But there's this like whole swarm of people that are just people that found me on Facebook that don't even realize I have a YouTube channel that are constantly there, which I never thought that would happen. Like that blows my mind still at this point.
Dang. Yeah, I mean, so for everybody listening, we're going to get into this a little bit later, but so what Dougie's talking about is on Facebook, where he's at now, it's what percentage would you say different audience it is versus YouTube where you're primarily before? Like if you were to guess.
Dude, if I just say like the overlap, I'd be surprised if more than 35% overlapped from YouTube to Facebook. It's crazy to me at this point.
Dang, that is cool. We'll talk a little bit later about just that transition from YouTube to Facebook, but I kind of want to go back to the beginning. I want to hear like why create content. You got a cool story. I obviously know it, but I want to dissect it a little bit because I even have some burning questions that I've never asked you that we'll get into. But the beginning, goodgamebro.com, was it?
It actually goes back like before that, oddly enough. Like I won't bore you with like super details. I'll try to wrap it up quickly. I know I can run on, but basically in high school, we had to do a senior project and I lived in a country area. Everyone's like restoring cars and building like dog houses and bird houses. And like, I don't know how to do that. So my grandmother was like, build a website. So I built a website called whoisdougievini.com. And I had this dream of like, oh, I'm going to take down IGN. I'm going to be the next IGN. And my website will be whoisdougievini.com. Well, honestly, that was a trash idea. So then I quickly switched it to stickskills.com. That was doing like insanely well. We were getting like 400,000 visitors a month and it was doing just so well. EA had invited me out to some events. I was like, this is cool. But then a few years later, I was like, you know what? I don't have time to manage 20 people. I kind of wanted to get into, you know, smaller editorial stuff and maybe try some video. And that's where I kind of came up with, you know, Good Game Bro. It's something that I wanted to do. And I was like, sports and shooters, I'll just focus on that, right?
What year was that? Like when? Like give me a time frame. Like how long ago was it? Was that when you started those two things?
I mean, Stick Skills was 2008. The senior project was 2006 when I graduated high school, and then Good Game Bro was like late 2013, early 2014, I think.
Okay, so geez, good 10 years.
Yeah,
overnight success, 10 years in the making.
Yeah, but like Good Game Bro was great because, you know, I worked with guys. I had like Corey was there, Kev, 26385 was there, and then, you know, Brian Parker and guys like that, and Mark Price even, you know, was there. Mm-hmm. And we were killing it. And then the more we started doing it, you know, guys, you know, everyone was getting older, real life stuff was kicking in. And I was just like, you know what, I kind of want to do video. And some of the guys were just, you know, not finding time as much to write articles, that we kind of came to a mutual decision of like, you know what, we had a really good run. I'm just going to take the site and turn it into sort of like a YouTube channel and just focus on that because I wanted to, you know, be creative. And dude, I was so bad. I was so bad in the beginning. Like everything was trash.
I feel like everybody is like, you have to catch like a few L's. But I will say, like you talked about like writing, going from writing to video. This is one of those burning questions. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it. Yeah. Do you write scripts for your videos still to this day? Or do you wing it? Are you just like a wing god?
Bro, I wing it. I 100% wing it, man.
Yo, I have so much more respect for you now. Oh man, that's incredible. Like you deliver like everything on point. Like I would be like, what? Like I couldn't do that. That's great. That's cool.
Dude, I just try to, you get in that zone, you know, like I try to do scripts and my wife would just laugh because I would just be like yelling in my office. I would mess up all the time. And she's like, why don't you just go off, you know, like the top of your head? Cause you know, you can BS anyways. And I did that and it was like so much better. Like now you can tell when you watch my videos of like when I went from trying to do like rehearse stuff. And then when I like, just like, shoot, I'm just going to wing it at this point. And it's so much better at that point.
That's so, it's really cool to hear that. And I think there's a story within it because for me, I'm the opposite. Like I have to like think about the story arc that I want to tell. And to me, like I would just like ramble on and not say anything of value if I just winged it. But writing a script allows me to like hit everything that I want to say. And like, you know, I'm pretty good at reading. Like I can read a prompter, like, but it's just interesting to me. So I think the message in there that I was thinking about, like, there isn't a right or wrong way to do it. Like I've heard people do all of it, or both. Yeah. Really just kind of depends on what you feel you're best at. Right.
I mean, yeah, I 100% agree. And I think for me, you know, as a kid, I grew up watching Stuart Scott, like a lot of people on SportsCenter, and, I saw how, you know, how hilarious he was and how serious he could be and how he just told this incredible story as he went over highlights. And that's, you know, a lot of my stuff is talking over highlights or talking over like career mode stuff. And I was like, man, like I want to be the next Stuart Scott. Well, obviously I'm not on ESPN or SportsCenter. So like, this is the next best thing for me, right? Was to go to YouTube and create content. And that was kind of my inspiration. It's like, I just want to go off the cuff and be like Stuart Scott without having to write a script, partially because I'm a little lazy on that side too.
I wouldn't say that. Call it efficient. Call it efficient. You want to use your time. Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. Good game, bro. Stick skills. You talked about like potentially managing 20 people. Like that's, you know, that's crazy. Like I'm trying to think about like 10 years ago or 8 years ago, 6 years ago, like managing a group of people for a fan site, like, that seems crazy. Like right now it doesn't seem that wild, but I feel like back then that would have been like a hard sell. What are your thoughts?
It's tough. I mean, you know, you were in like tradition sports and stuff. So like you totally get the whole like community aspect and all of that. But, you know, I had a really good editor in chief, Josiah Renaudin, shout out to him. He's actually works for Sony Santa Monica now.
Oh, wow.
But I had like great people like him. I had guys like Dylan Skiffington and all these like great talented people that have went on to do like really cool things. So like I'm like a proud father now. I'm like, oh my god, you guys are growing up. And so like with any team, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And I was really fortunate to have like really talented people. But honestly, being like super young like that, like I just did not want to manage 20 people. I'm like, this is so difficult to do. Getting review copies, getting on top of everything for news, editorials, editing stuff, doing graphics, doing website maintenance. I was like, man, I want to get out of here. Like, this is just way too much for one person.
So one of the, like, about all of that too, like your journey from like where you are now, I think it's really interesting that you went from writing to, it seems like you stream more than making videos now. Is that accurate? Or would you say
No, that's accurate for sure.
Okay. So I guess like because you've arrived to doing more streaming, like is that your preferred, like would you choose that right now, or do you still like making videos best, or what, like did that change over time, like, and why maybe?
Yeah, and that's honestly a great question. And I think for me it did change over time, because at first I was like, I always was like, oh, I'm gonna be a video guy, man, streaming, like I don't really know, it's difficult. But then the more I did streaming, the more I loved it, because it's a direct connection to my audience. They can ask me questions in real time. Mm-hmm. I can hang out with them. and it's less grunt work for you as an editor. Like when you're trying to like think about editing, right? Like I can come home by 6 o'clock, make dinner, hang out with my wife until 8. She goes to bed with the baby. I'm like streaming from 8 to, you know, like midnight basically. And then I can be done. But I usually stay up to edit for like an hour or two and then go to bed. But just being able to like do that for 4 hours and be like, man, I feel like really accomplished. And then I could cut down, you know, parts of the stream. And so it's like you're recording, you're streaming, you're doing all this stuff for your audience at once and they feel hyper connected to you. The more I've done this, the more attached I feel to streaming more so than videos, which is, I never thought that would happen for me.
So do you think that's the, like the best strategy for creating content right now is to stream it long form and then take highlights and put it on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram? Like, do you think that's the, is that we, the preferred, you know, your recommendation on what someone starting out should do? Like, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to vary per person. Right. But I think as a new content creator, I think there's nothing wrong with that. If you have some friends that want to hang out and be in your stream to kind of help support you, do that. Stream a little bit, get yourself some content, edit down those highlights and put, you know, some TLC into it. But there's always going to be room for that sort of very edited, sort of like massage content that is you're spending more time on to make sure that it's like a little bit more polished, a little bit more presentable. The stream stuff is great, but you need something else to kind of like hook that audience and be like, oh man, their streams are great. I love seeing these videos like once or twice a week too.
Yeah. One thing that I think about, like when I watch your streams, you're really quick-witted, and like really good on your feet, like really entertaining with just like randomly reacting and saying funny stuff, to the audience that's watching. So if you feel like, and you know, I can relate a little bit, like I said, like if I were to stream, I feel like a bum. Like, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say without having words in front of me. what would you say for someone, that maybe is like a little bit challenged in front of a camera? Cause like I noticed some people like just don't even show their face when they make mm-hmm. anything, and they also don't stream and they like to just do videos. Do you think those people are potentially being blocked by not showing themselves, not live streaming? Like, do you think that's a transition that people should make, or is it vary just like anything? What are your thoughts?
For me, I think it is a transition. Say thank you for the compliment. Like I really appreciate that. But the thing with like, when you're going into streaming, it's very invasive, right? Like it's very intrusive. And you're like, when I first stream in, I mean, you hear my voice and you've seen me in person. Like I'm kind of like a tall, skinny dude. And then you hear my voice. And you're like, what the heck? That dude doesn't look like what he actually sounds like. And so I was really self-conscious initially of streaming because I was like, man, I'm going to put my face cam out there and everyone's going to roast me and be like, boy, why you sound like that? It doesn't make any sense. And so like my wife, when I talked to her, I had like 700 people in the stream. I was doing like UFC. I was like, man, I'm thinking about doing a face cam. And she's like, are you ready for like, what's going to come? Like people are going to like ask you questions. Like, why do you sound like that and look like that? Or, you know, it's going to be hard. And it's 100% words that are, you know, struggling about like, you know, I feel like I am very fortunate to be like somewhat quick-witted and occasionally say something funny. What really helped me too is like looking at my favorite stand-up comedians. Like I used to watch Donald Glover and see like, you know, how he sort of like delivered a carried an audience. Watch Eddie Murphy, like old school Eddie Murphy, and see like how he carried an audience. Yeah. You can learn a lot from comedians when you're looking at like live streaming. There's a really close parallel, I think, that a lot of people don't really pay attention to.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't think I've ever thought about that at all. You know, like stand-up comics, you know, those with charisma, you know, that's completely something that like I don't even consider because I focus on something else. But that is really interesting because there is some people that are really good at streaming, and what carries their streams is just their ability to like commentate in a way that others can't. Like it really is a skill.
No, I agree. And like, you know, I watch, to me, there's like different types of streamers, right? Like I'm not a guy who's overly skilled. So like, if you're watching me, you're not watching me to win Fortnite, MLB The Show, Madden, like whatever. Like mm-hmm. I'm going to take what some people might call losses, but don't remember. I mean, don't forget we're undefeated, never lost.
Yeah.
So to me, I have to have that extra sarcasm so that if I die in a game, people know that there's going to be something funny or I'm going to make fun of myself. And like, to me, if you're not one of those high level players like Ninja or like Tfue or TSM Myth or something like that, you have to be able to like make fun of yourself and know that people are going to want to roast you, but it's okay to laugh at yourself a little bit, you know?
So this is a good question that you bring it up. You talked about skill, and like, for example, I was actually doing this the other day because we were talking at work, and I was like, you know what? I want to know who are like the top 20 like streamers on Twitch. Just like, we're just going to pick Twitch because it's pretty established. Obviously people are going there to watch games mostly, and also to watch live games. And if you look at like the top 20, like most of them are on top because they're really, really good at the game that they play. And it's interesting to me. And so I think about like some of the best advice that you could give to an up and coming, you know, someone that's aspiring to be an influencer at some point, like wants to create, you know, whether it be videos or, you know, it's, you know, live gameplay just for streaming. Like, is it better to be really good at a game or really entertaining? Like, what do you think?
To me, I think you need to have the blend of both in some way, but I think you can also be extremely entertaining and moderately, or you can be like average of the game and extremely entertaining, and people are willing to watch it, because if there's something that everyone loves to do, it's laugh, right? Like my audience, I tell them like, "Lo, use my stream as an escape. If you're having a bad day, things aren't going well for you, look, come hang out in the chat, come have a couple laughs at my expense, watch me take a couple of L's here and there." But like a guy that, you know, I learned a lot from, like a positive attitude, just from watching, he's one of my favorite streamers, is Tim the Tatman.
And yeah,
Tim, if you're listening to this, I apologize, but like, you're not the best Fortnite player, you know? You're a pretty
he knows.
But like, when you watch him, he is unbelievably entertaining for a guy who's not super talented at like Fortnite. Like, he's good at Overwatch and stuff, but like Fortnite, he has his moments, but he's not great. And he gets, you know, 20 to 30,000 concurrents just from being entertaining. He laughs at himself, he knows how to engage this chat, and that's where I kind of liken myself to, like a poor man's Tim the Tap Man, is like where I would like classify myself for like what I'm trying to be. Because I think you can be super successful being that way.
Interesting. So starting out then, so if someone were to, let's just say they had some decisions to make, and and the reason why I ask is because there's people listening to this that want to be you, like they want to actually, let me ask you this question first. How many subscribers on YouTube, and how many, what are the likes, follows on Facebook now?
I have more follows than likes on Facebook, so I'm gonna go with that instead to make me feel better.
You gotta do both. You gotta reveal both.
Yeah. So likes on Facebook is a little over 31,000, and then follows is about 65,000. Okay. And then YouTube is 112,000 for subs.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of people that want to be where you're at, and then want to, I mean, honestly, turn gaming, like their love for gaming, into a career. But starting is the hardest thing to do. And then after you start, like, as you know, things don't go as good early on. And so what would you, so with all these opportunities ahead of you, like you can be good at a game, you could be entertaining, you could stream, you could make a video, you could stream, then turn those streams into videos. Like, what do you think, what would you recommend to the person trying to start out, like trying to upload their first video, do their first stream? What should they do? What would, like, how should they kind of carry themselves for the first 3, 6, 12 months? Like, what would you recommend now that you've went through it all?
That's, you know, that's interesting, because thinking about like, if I had to start like from today, I think the first thing I would do is I would pick one game that I was good at. So whether it's Fortnite, MLB The Show, Madden, like whatever you're playing that you're good at, that you're knowledgeable about, that you know, like maybe you don't even have to be, again, crazy good. But if, let's say you're above average at a certain game, and this is like the game you feel the most comfortable on, start streaming that game and use that as like an educational tool. And you can also do like little tips and tricks here and there. So like that game drops, you're good at it, you play it every year, you're like, boom, I'm going to tell you how to be a better hitter in MLB The Show. And then also create streams too, so people come to your channel. I call it like the sandwich method, right? Like the sandwich isn't just the patty. There's like, you know, a dressing that comes with it. Like whether you're a ketchup or mayo person, you might have pickles, you might have tomatoes, you have all these different things that kind of make up what you're doing. But you got to start with something good, and that's the patty, right? A sandwich or a burger is not good without the right type of patty. So your patty should be the game you're good at, and it's a consistent type of content, whether that's a stream, whether it's a video series, whatever it is. And then over time, get a little bit more fancy, start seeding in some other things. Okay, your pickles might be some tips and tricks videos. You might do another series and that ends up becoming your lettuce. And you just kind of, over time, you have a nice little sandwich. But don't start out with the monster sandwich. You know, don't build this crazy behemoth initially. Like, seed yourself into just using that first game that you really enjoy, you're really knowledgeable on, and build from there.
I've never heard anyone use that type of analogy, but when you were saying it, I was like, man, this is why Doug's a legend. Like,
I like food a lot, really. Yeah. That's why I use it. So.
Yeah, I mean, the food analogy is great. Like, you know, like I think about, you know, they're like In-N-Out. They don't try to have this crazy menu, do all this stuff. They're like, you know what? We're just going to make you one good burger.
Yep.
And, you know, most people only get that burger. And then, of course, there's some other things you can get, but there is merit to just being good at that one thing and trying not to expand too much over time. And like you said, if you try and make everything, like you try and be McDonald's and be everything, then you're nothing to nobody. Like, to exactly. You know, so yeah, that's really good advice. I haven't thought about it like that way. That's, like I'm thinking about like going, taking that analogy, like even further, I'm curious on your background, like what was the, like growing up, like we're going to go back even further there. You talked about like starting the website, going back, like what did you want to be when you grew up, quote unquote?
I, for the longest time, thought I was going to be an NBA player. I wanted to be Scottie Pippen. Like, everyone knows Michael Jordan. I was like the biggest Scottie Pippen fan, and I honestly probably am still like the biggest Scottie Pippen fan of like anyone. But I was heavy into baseball, and I had a baseball injury in like ninth grade where I couldn't really throw as hard as I could before. And so I had to kind of like transition into basketball. And that's just what I put my entire soul into, man. I did like small college ball briefly until I realized, again, I wasn't going to the NBA. Did a semi-pro thing briefly when I realized they didn't really pay, and I wanted to stop chasing hoop dreams. And then I was like, I'm super competitive. I need something. I've always played video games. And that's when I just started jumping in. It was like, you know what? I'm going to keep doing this editorial writing thing. And then, you know, I talked about like what happened obviously after that, but I thought I was going to go to the NBA. That was like my dream early on.
Interesting. So what vlogging, like, you know, now that you've made more videos and doing more streams, you've obviously done some vlogging, and done some more in real life sports stuff. So, you know, like the reason why that like vlogging just came to mind, because I have seen you do some, you know, more basketball videos, and those are,
you're going to bring it up, aren't you?
No, I'm not going to bring it up. You're not going to bring it up. I'm also ready. Spoiler. I'm ready for the revenge. If there was some revenge, I haven't heard, but I'm looking forward to that.
Possibly, you know.
But yeah, I mean, like I think the in real life stuff that you do is like also like incredibly entertaining. Like, have you thought about doing more of that? Like, what's your stance on it?
It's funny you mention it. My audience a lot of times is like asking me to do it, and I think what I struggle with is a lot of times I'm just like, yeah, I'm boring. You know, like I'm someone's dad now. Like I'm 30. Like I
someone's dad.
I'm like, I'm boring, you know, like that's what processes in my mind. But people are like,
you're all of our dad.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. Everyone in chat is always like, you're everyone's dad. And I'm like, oh, my God. But I think as a creator, like sometimes you struggle. You're like, is what I'm recording interesting? Is anyone even going to want to watch this? Right. And you have that fear when you're doing something in like that's in real life. You're like, I might spend all this time doing this, and it's not like a video game where I can just like easily redo it. Like I can spend all this time and then I upload it and people are like, this is trash. Why do you upload this? I'm unsubscribing. And so you have this, it's like internal fear, or maybe it's just me being paranoid. But I want to do more, you know, and I always have my camera with me. Like I went out on a couple trips so far this year and I was like, all right, guys, I'm going to vlog. And every time I pulled out my camera, I had this like anxiety attack where I was just like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm vlogging in public. No one wants to see this. Everyone's going to think I'm weird. And then I just didn't vlog, and I have to get better. That's one of the things that I've marked down on my like yearly list of things to improve on, is to not be so self-conscious, to not let my anxiety kind of like hit me as much as it does. And to like, just get back to doing it again. If I enjoy something, if it's fun, just to go do it and not worry about what other people think. But that's easier said than done.
Yeah, I mean, you hit nail on the head. The same reason we talked about this before we started this, but yeah, the same reason why I rebranded my like channel, Try to Go Back to Basics, was for that exact same reason. Like, you know, like I love making vlogs. It's weird. I'm more comfortable doing that than gaming videos. And so I'm like kind of the opposite than you. It's weird. Yeah. But like, then again, like I grew up and, you know, I went to school for film. I've been writing scripts and doing shoots and acting like my entire life. And so, well, not my entire life, but, you know, since high school, like, yeah, you met Ben, right? Haggerty, right?
Oh, dude, incredible. He's incredible.
Yeah, dude, I'm so proud of where he's going. But like him and I used to do skits. We used to make skits before there was YouTube. Like YouTube was around, but it like was just a place you just stored videos.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, so like, you know, the vlogging in real life stuff, like I've been doing that for, like we've been doing that for so long, and that weirdly becomes more natural to me than like gaming. So like, I thought it was interesting because, like you might think you're boring, but like you're in that it's awkward, but like you're never going to see most of those people again in your life. And it's like, that's going to be true. So normal, like in the future. Like I was thinking the other day, like I remember like a good 6 years ago, you know, you'd go overseas to like Asia and Japan, and you'd see, you know, mobs of people walking around with selfie sticks. And I remember like thinking to myself, like, what? Like, that is just so weird. You know, like you'd see people like doing selfies together, and you're like, that is so cringy. But like, that's the world now. And so I 100% believe that, like, you know, I'm surprised we run into more people that are vlogging every day. Like, it's going to happen. So it's becoming a social norm, you know, for at least the United States.
You're right. I actually saw someone around town recently that was taking a selfie with a drone, and I was just so confused. I was like, what is happening? I was like, this is a legit thing. And like, at that point, I was like, you know what, if someone's comfortable enough doing that, why am I not comfortable enough, like, using a regular camera and like just vlogging and doing something entertaining? So you're 100% right, though. I definitely agree with you.
There's so have you ever watched one of Dan Mace's videos? He's the guy from South Africa that lives with Casey now. Nice that.
Oh no, I don't think I've seen those.
My God, like you got to check out the stuff. It's amazing. Well, okay. He just put up a video, and it is one of the most like surprising videos I've ever seen. So, like, he basically breaks down in it, like he talks about the struggles of having ideas, like, you know, going out to shoot. Like the premise of the video is he had a good idea. He booked a plane ticket and flew to Europe to go do the idea, and then he got there and it was like he just had like creative block, and he's like, I can't do this. And so he spent like days there and was shooting. And then he just deleted all the footage because he didn't like it. And then he had like a mental breakdown. And so then he flew to Austria. And I don't want to spoil the rest for you.
Yeah.
But like he didn't just like not talk about all this. And he didn't just like not upload a video. He recorded him going through this breakdown. And then he uploaded the video of all of it. And I was just like, whoa. Like, wow. Like the talk about the things you never see on YouTube. But like this is the stuff that... There's so much pressures on, you know, creative people to like always show up with something that's, you know, like super good. But sometimes just being real is better than anything that you could conjure up. And I think that video is living proof. And so, I mean, I recommend everyone listening, check it out. I recommend you listen, check it out, Dougie, too.
No, I absolutely check it out, man. I kind of love sort of like the movement to transparency that we've had. And, you know, to that point you're talking about for that video, I think a lot of people have this this vision of like, you know, it's so easy to create a video. Like, you know, a lot of my subscribers or followers will be like, oh, you haven't uploaded this series in a while. Why haven't you uploaded it? And I'm like, bro, there's not a magical just like push the button and like this video magically pops out and goes on to YouTube. Like, there's this entire process behind it. Like, I have to have a good idea. I got to make sure that, like, you know, I'm not sick, that everything's going right, that I have a fire gameplay. And then if you upload a bad one, they're like, this is trash. Where's the good episodes? And like, you're right. It's so difficult to have like that idea, that execution. And then as a creator, you always feel like could this be better? Like, I know you've probably had this before, but like you upload something and then immediately you're like, oh my God, I could have done this better. I could have done that better. Like, was it even worth uploading that? Like, what am I doing?
That's one of the biggest struggles. Like, so yeah, 100%. Like, that's something even to this day, like I like deal with, like, cause you want everything, you want every time you show up to be quality. And the definition of quality is subjective, and it's on you as a creator. And so for me, when I think about creativity, I think about, is it something new? Is it something different? Is it something better? Like, new, never been done before, better than anyone's ever did it before, and different meaning like, holy hell, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes, like what you just said, like, about the transition to transparency and like open communication, like that's literally the opposite of that. Like, that's like, show up every day and just speak your truth, like speak what's on your mind, you know, because I guess in a way it is unique to you, it's authentic to you, but like, I don't know, it's just it's tough to like figure out what you're supposed to do, like what the true path to success is. And I'm always like completely blown away by people who have like daily vlogs, and those vlogs, they don't have cinematic shots, they don't have that much comedy or entertainment. All they do is just share like true, like the realities of their life, and like people love it, and like I like to watch it sometimes too. It's really interesting to me. I can't put my finger on why.
I think there's something like, you know, relatable about, you know, a lot of that content. And when you feel like you can connect with something, and there's kind of like this deeper sort of like connection you can have with the creator, you're kind of like drawn to it. But I think one thing that's interesting, you talk about like vlogs or whatever, you know, I think about like Casey Neistat, right? Like, he did those daily vlogs for so long, and then there was that period of time where he was like, the vlogs are done. And, you know, obviously he brought them back, spoilers if you know, for everyone that's listening that doesn't know, but like, there's that thing as a creator where sometimes you're making something and it's doing so well, but you're just sick of it. You're like, I don't want to create this anymore. It's not fun for me. It's getting views. My audience wants it, but I literally don't want to ever create it again. And
yeah,
I think as a creator, like, that's one of the most difficult things, is you just sometimes have those moments where you just don't want to do something anymore, but you have to balance, this is getting views, it's growing my channel, but I literally hate it.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, let's pour one out for the Casey Neistat daily vlogs, man. I still wish, I appreciate the things he's doing with the 368, but they're just not the same. Like, they're just,
for sure.
And I don't even know how to even, like, if I saw him tomorrow and like, we're going to deliver that feedback to him, I wouldn't even be able to tell him why. It would just be all based on a feeling. But it's weird. Like, you know, like sometimes it's like more interesting that someone, you know, you get a peek into his life. Like, you get to see what he's doing every single day, and ton of it's not really interesting at all. Like, it's just kind of like normal stuff, but for whatever reason, it was interesting the way he put it together and he talked about it. So I don't know. It's weird. Like, there's no answer. Like, there's no answer on how to do anything. Like, I mean, I actually think that's something that Casey said. Like, he said, you know, I believe it's in the Do What You Can't video, where
I love that video.
Yeah, it's a great video. And he says, you know, all the doubters, all the haters, like, who cares? Because no one in this day and age knows anything. And there's a lot of people I believe they do, but there's always someone, a turn away, that proves everything and everybody wrong with something they do. And so it's weird. It's a tough landscape to live in.
No, I agree. It's kind of the beauty of it too, though. Like, the fact that there's not always a right way to do something. Sometimes the wrong way to do something is what ends up trend. And then everyone wants to do that because that's now like the new hotness or like the new thing that everyone's doing. And it's kind of crazy. It makes you want to pull your hair out as a creator, but it's kind of fascinating too, when you think about it at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got a question too. Now that because you've been on like all these different channels, and you first started with YouTube, And then, yeah. Then you, I think Twitch next a little bit, but you still did YouTube, obviously, but you started some Twitch to grow it, and then added on Facebook. If you could start all over again, you could only choose one channel. What channel would you choose and why?
The hardest part is like timing, right? So like if you're talking, if I were starting today and I was starting all over, I'm probably going to Facebook. But if you're telling
me
we're talking 2010, then I'm telling you like, yeah, I'm going to YouTube, because like YouTube had that sort of like legacy, you know, time period where everything on YouTube was popping. It wasn't oversaturated. The algorithm was mostly working, right? Sub boxes didn't work every once in a while, but like for the most part, like your subs were getting at least a chance to view your sort of content. But yeah, that's just how I feel. Like I think, you know, the beauty of Facebook is there's more people on that as a social media platform than any other platform out there. And, you know, they're doing some things, a lot of which I can't like talk about because I kind of have like inside knowledge to a degree, but I feel so connected to that team. Like, to give you an example, I went to PAX East and I did some stage shows there and I got to work with them. And I was like, so excited to get there. Right. But when I've met people from YouTube or from Twitch or whatever, they didn't know who I was. Like, they didn't know my name. They didn't know my channel name. And I'm like, whatever. I'm not a huge person. So like, I totally understand. I wasn't expecting it. When I showed up at the Facebook booth, I was immediately greeted with, "Oh, hey, Doug, how are you doing? I love your channel." And I was like, "What?" And it wasn't just them saying it. They called out specific things of like, the PR guy was like, "Oh, I watched your MLB The Show stream. And like, it was so awesome. I'm an Orioles fan or whatever." And I was like, "What?"
it was cool. I remember we were standing at the Game Changers University. We were standing there and like John was talking about like watching your stuff. Like, that's the head of the program. Like the head of the...
Dude, he came up to me and said, "You're one of my favorite creators." And I legit was getting teary-eyed. What's going on right now?
Like, yeah. That's got to feel good, man. Knows you're on the right path. Like, you're on the right track.
Yeah. Nah, it felt validating. I was really happy with that.
So here's a question for you. You know, you picked Facebook, that you would start on Facebook. So here's the golden question. It's a two-parter. Mm-hmm. Would you recommend more people jump on it right now, or is it too late, or is it just beginning?
To me, I think it's just beginning. But I think here's the thing about content creation, right? Right now in 2018, this is way more accessible to create content than ever before. The devices that allow you to create content are cheaper than ever before. There are more devices allowed to do it ever before. Your consoles can allow you to create content if you want to spend the time. It is a little bit more difficult to do it, but like, there are so many more ways to create content than now, which means you have so much more content for people to consume. Getting people to want to consume your content is the hardest part of content creation, and getting them to want to consume it over and over again is the next step of being obviously like super difficult. If you're on Facebook and it doesn't really matter what platform you're on, you have to be able to like want to differentiate yourself and find a way to do it that's intriguing to people. But on Facebook, I've streamed Rocket League, which is a game that's, you know, super old now, so it's a passionate audience, but like, people come in, they're watching Rocket League stuff, they're watching Madden, they're watching MLB The Show, they're watching Fortnite, and I'm playing all of that on one channel. If you were to try to do that on YouTube right now, it's very difficult to get people to stay and watch all of that sort of stuff. I'm seeing the same names pop through. If I try to do that on Twitch, no one is going to watch. And I feel like Facebook right now is the only place where you can be a variety channel or switch things up, and your audience feels more attached to you as a person than they do a game that you're playing. You just happen to be kind of like the vehicle that's driving it. And that to me is the biggest connection that I found on Facebook.
Why do you think that is? Like, that's super interesting, but I'm really curious as to why.
I'm still trying to figure it out. And I think part of it might have to do with these people are using their real profiles, their real names. When liking something, it shows up as, you know, like, if I like something, it's Doug Vini's liking this. It's not like Elite Gamer 55129 is liking it, you know? Yeah. I think there's that sort of draw where when they're doing things on Facebook, it's much more intimate than it would be if they're on YouTube or on another platform.
Dang, you get me hyped. Actually, I do have a Facebook channel. Actually, here's another question then. Here's would be my follow-up to that then. So I've got a Facebook channel. I you know, maybe have one game that I'm really, really good at, or there's a bunch of games I have that I want to like basically play and stream. How do I grow? What do I do? What tactics or like little things can I do to help grow my channel? Because it seems daunting, just like any channel. Like how would you do it?
So I think the thing that I've learned on Facebook that's, and this is just me guesstimating, this isn't like an exact science and like someone's told me, but shares on Facebook are absolutely king on that platform. So when I'm streaming and I get people in there, I'm always saying like, yo, if you guys are enjoying this, you want to help me out, you see my channel grow or my page grow, just hit the share button, share it to your family, your friends, your auntie, your uncle, your cousin too, like whoever you think might enjoy this. You can even tag friends in there. So I tell people like, yo, if you're enjoying this and you got a friend that might like this, just tag them in chat and, you know, to stay a while, I'd love to have you here. So I think using the power of the share function, and then also I think for any young content creator, if you're just starting or you're just starting on a new platform, get people to watch. Like, load it up on your phone, boom, there's one viewer for you. Load it up on your computer, boom, there's another viewer for you. Get your friends to load it up, even if they're going out and hanging out somewhere, have them put it on their computer at home. Get yourself a couple viewers basically to like help kind of catapult you. And then as people come in, just engage with them. Don't like pounce on a viewer as soon as they come in, like, oh my God, I'm so happy you're here, please talk to me or whatever. Just be like, hey man, like, hope you guys are enjoying your time here. Just be very social with them. And if you can do that and let people drive through the shares, you're gonna see more and more people come. And then it's up to you to convert them. It's the salesman mentality, right? Like, you know, I used to work in like a gaming store. So I was used to people coming in and having to like convert them in sales, right?
Yeah.
So you get someone to come in, you get them for that call to action. You're like, yo, if you're enjoying this, like, I hope you're having fun. Let me know by leaving a follow on the page. And then just tell me if you follow, because I love to see the new faces that come in. And people are so deeply ingrained to getting recognition for something, they're more inclined to basically follow at that point or share at that point, because they're like, oh yeah, I like this guy and I'm gonna get recognition and get a shout out, like, why not? And that's worked really well.
It's really interesting. I think it's weird, like, it's just like any channel. When a new channel comes out, there's like a, you know, 3-6 month period where everyone's just trying to figure out how it works, like, what do you do, what tips can you do. And you know, like, I'll be honest, that's one that I know literally nothing about, considering that most of my time's been focused on YouTube. And it's you know, quite interesting. It's pretty cool to hear. And so, you know, kind of summarizing, you don't think it's too late. It's not too late to start streaming and creating on Facebook.
No.
What about YouTube? What about YouTube? And then go to, you're going to say.
Yeah. YouTube. I think for YouTube, it's never too late. It's just the steep hill that you're going to be climbing is basically straight vertical now. Instead of being at a slope, like a slanted slope, you're looking at a straight vertical climb. But if you get into YouTube with a new game that's launching, right? Like Fortnite, if you were jumping into the early stages of Fortnite, there's an opportunity for you to shine. There's a lot of creators that just came up. There's going to be new games drop. Red Dead Redemption 2. You could become a Red Dead Redemption 2 creator and your channel could blow up even if you have no subs at that point, just by making really good videos right at the start of launch. So if you're getting into the launch of a game, it's not too late on YouTube. But I would say, just at the Facebook growth point, a quick example, it's D-Wolf, a guy that I stream with a lot on Facebook. He had 60 followers on Twitch. He was getting maybe 1 to 5 people to watch him whenever he streamed. And he was frustrated. And I was like, look, come to Facebook, stream one time with me and just see what you get. I'm not going to like super plug you or whatever, but like, it'll at least kind of get you an experience of what's going on. So he wasn't actually initially streaming. He was just like playing with me and people were like, oh yeah, he should stream. He should stream. I would definitely watch him. And then next thing you know, the days that I wasn't on, I was like, yo, if you're smart, stream on the days that I don't stream. And that's going to make a lot of my audience want to naturally go find you. He has over 10,000 followers in, I think, 2.5-3 months now. And this is a guy that had 60 followers on Twitch after 9 months. So the growth that he saw, and you know, there was a little bit of a boost for me, but even with, if you take that little boost that I gave away from him, he's seen tremendous growth on that platform just by grinding and putting in the effort and learning how the, you know, the page and the channels work over there.
It's so cool. One of the things that I like really love about like what my job is getting to see what you just said. like people who have like passion and talent, but like haven't necessarily grown and now are coming, you know, like, you know, growing, you know, exponentially. And then just to see him over time. And it's pretty cool to me because in this moment, I'm thinking to myself, when we were in LA for EA Play, I was talking to Pool Shark. And so a year ago, or even 2 years ago, we brought Pool Shark out, and you know, he was just, you know, he didn't have a channel at all. Like he didn't stream, didn't make videos, but he was part of the community, mostly known as, you know, on the moderator standpoint. But everybody loves him, great guy. You know, all the creators and streamers love him. Yep. And he tried to do it next year. He got inspired and tried to do it, but just didn't really see it. And then this last year, he moved over to Facebook, and I was talking to him, and I was like, dude, where are you at now? And he's like, man, he's like, I'm at like 30,000, I think, likes. And I was just like, oh man, that's like, it's just amazing that's coming together. Yeah. But it even goes back further than that. Like, I remember there was a time where Darkness, he sat front row at, you know, at Game Changers University, and he had like 4,000 followers. And then I remember a time when you were down there too. And it's like, it's just amazing to see you guys not just like make the dreams happen for you, but like also inspire the next group of people to come after you. And that's cool. Like I felt that at the Game Changer Awards too, like seeing everybody there who looks up to, you know, so many of you guys. So it's amazing.
No, I agree. I think there's also like great people like, you know, yourself and guys like Donnie, AJ, Kralo, like so many people out there that kind of open up doors for a lot of creators too, not from just like a knowledge standpoint, just from an opportunity standpoint to kind of educating us. Like, I mean, me and you have had conversations time and time again where like I've picked your brain and I've been like, look, I kind of think this is cool, but like, do you think this is like working? Like, what's your perspective on this? And like, I think as a creator, it's important to have people you can go to in different areas, different genres, or even in your own genre that can kind of help give you a different perspective. And whether or not you take their advice is whatever, but like, having that other additional perspective is so key to shaping kind of like your creator journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Like, that's one of the most fun things I could do in my job. Like, I really look forward to like trying to unlock doors. I mean, I still to this day, I always say this, but I consider myself you know, I could very well still be on the outside. I just got lucky enough to get pulled in and am in a position to actually do the things that I said I would do when I wasn't. So that's cool. You kind of, we're getting close to on time. Like, I don't want to let this run too far, but, to kind of wrap everything up, I do want to, you know, kind of leave people with, you know, kind of like a cheat sheet to walk away with. And so if you had to pick like three tips to grow a Facebook gaming channel, because it sounds like the time is now, it's
for sure,
the, you know, the opportunity is hot. What would those three tips be? Like, what would you tell people they need to do to just start?
I would say, and I don't know what particular order these three will go in, but I would say one of the largest ones is being your own biggest critic. I see a lot of content creators that create stuff and they don't even watch their own content back. I watch a lot of my streams back and I skip through, and I'm always picking out like, ah man, like I really choked in that situation from like a conversational standpoint, or I should have been talking to chat a little bit more. And I'm giving myself like a scorecard every stream of like, you know, this was a B, this is a C+, this was an F. Like, I don't know what the heck I was doing here. Like, you have to be your own biggest critic to realize that everyone, when you're initially creating content, a lot of people feel like, oh yeah, that was good enough. No. You need to be constantly evolving your content to make sure that it's incredible. Because again, lots of people are out there. You need to make sure that it's perfect, or not perfect, but as perfect as it can be in that moment. And if it's not perfect, then you need to figure out like how to basically improve that. I would say a second tip I would give is being consistent. If you are not consistent, nothing matters. The days of being able to upload one video per week or 2 weeks or whatever doesn't really work. You got to give your people some sort of like schedule, like, okay, I'm going to be streaming on these days, I'm going to be dropping videos on these days, or this many times per week. Because, and me and you had this conversation before about like, content creators are now treated more like Netflix than they are, you know, cable television, or kind of like cable television too. Like people want to be able to watch the Netflix side of things and binge on our content, but they also want to know that on certain days, they can expect, like for me, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, boom, they can expect a stream to be pouring through there. So like that is incredibly key. So I have, I have Be Consistent.
Yeah. So the second one,
Biggest Critic.
Yeah. The Biggest Critic. So with the consistent one, before you go to the third one, you mentioned like you got to be consistent and show up. Do you think that you need to like quality needs to be like sacrificed for consistency? Like, would you recommend someone, like commit to, you know, a video every day at a lower quality, or be a little bit more ad hoc with higher quality? What do you think is more important?
I think you need that balance of quality and time. So if you're going to be putting out a video every day, but you don't feel good about the quality, I would say try to shoot for like 3 videos per week that are at a good quality. And it shouldn't be this amazing quality that's going to take you, you know, a week to edit or 2 weeks to edit or whatever. You got to find that balance of like, how can you create something that you feel good about that is done in a timely manner, that is entertaining to watch? And for everyone, that's going to be different, because types of content you create are obviously going to, you know, dictate that. But you have to kind of like fine tune what that balance is for you. So that there's no like blanket answer, but it's just a really tough balance, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So that's two. You got be your own biggest critic, be consistent. And what do you got for number three?
This last is going to sound super generic, man, but I'm telling you, it matters. You have to be yourself. Like, so many people I see, and I was a victim of doing this early on. You know, I used to watch guys like QJB, Anto, and, you know, Gold Glove. And I found myself trying to inject too much of them into my content rather than trying to be the best version of myself. And why would someone, you know, want to watch another QJB or Anto when they could just go watch the original, which is going to be way better, obviously, you know, right? So that was a really tough thing for me. But once I was figuring out who I was as a creator and who I wanted to be as a creator, my content did so much better. Everything sounded better, looked better, felt better. And I was way more proud of my content at that point once I figured out that little part.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. Those are some good tips, man. Those are, I mean, there's always, you know, there's thousands of things that are considerations and variables, and you could ask 100 questions over and over. But yeah, I agree with those three. I mean, those are always going to keep you in check. Like, you know, you got to make sure that, you know, you're staying true to yourself, you're showing up. You know, those are very important. Like, without it, you're being a poser, or, and, you know, people can't follow you, like, if you don't. Yeah. So I agree. That's cool. Well, all right. I think, that's going to do it. What's, shout yourself out, your channels. Where can we find you at?
Thank you. Just first again for having me on. You guys can find me on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, MySpace, just kidding, not MySpace. Just search Good Game Bro, all one word. You can find me in all those channels.
Yep. So fb.gg/goodgamebro, youtube.com/goodgamebro, twitter.com/goodgamebro, right?
Yep, that's correct.
That's easy. That's easy when you get the when you get it all across the board like that. Not everybody has that. So
definitely not.
I've got slash real, like, you know, real m.frisk. Yeah. Cool. Right. Well, yeah, Doug, appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Thanks so much to everybody listening. You can follow me at Marcus Frisky. This has been another good episode of the Creator's Toolkit. Signing off till the next one. We'll see ya. Peace.